This is Wendy Fadan, and I'm going to be sharing a chapter from one of my books. The book is called Wearing My Weird in the Great White North, and the book is actually about my life as a 12-year-old. And you will be meeting a few people in this chapter. One will be my character, Wendy. The other character is my sister, Laura. And the third character is our best friend and neighbor named Deborah. And this is a wonderful little chapter just to introduce what playtime was like for us as 11th or 12-year-old children. The chapter is called Let's Pretend. Autumn was just around the corner, and I would begin sixth grade. Switching classrooms was always a big adjustment. My classmates never seemed to change, neither friends nor enemies. Teachers changed every year, yet they always seemed to know me. Laura and I looked forward every day to our walk home from school so we could play together in the afternoon. Although we didn't always get along, Laura was my favorite playmate. We created our own little world in the basement. We had our own playroom, but adventures spread everywhere. Our imaginations kept us entertained for hours. Laura and I played mostly with plastic and stuffed animals, most treasured of which were two purple dinosaurs and a floppy red dog. I named the dog Briar Fox after my favorite character from an Uncle Remus story. One dinosaur's neck had been completely wrung, so his head would drag pathetically along the floor. The other one was scruffy-looking, and the blacks of his eyes had erased over time. Poor little Briar Fox was limp as a beanbag, and his nose had long ago popped off. Laura's favorite toy was Duck, merely a duck-shaped cushion with the patterned image of a duck printed on both sides. Duck was once attacked and ripped to shreds by our dogs, which devastated Laura. Sympathetically, Mom gathered the sad remains of the toy and sewed them together into what no longer resembled a duck in the least. The poor thing was now a lumpy mass of fabric, but remained Laura's favorite. Although these animals were old and worn out, none could be thrown away. It would be like discarding a friend. Often, our neighbor Deborah Martin would join us in our play. She was the same age as Laura. Deborah loved to talk. Nothing amused her more than telling a long story, which could never be told without dramatic hand and body movements. Laura and I had been friends with Deborah forever. Although Laura and she argued frequently and intensely, they somehow remained best friends. I was never as close to Deborah, though I longed to be. Most times when my sister and I quarreled, Deborah sided with Laura. The odd times when Deborah sided with me, Laura would stomp out of the sandbox and yell over her shoulder that she would never come near either of us again. For a while, Deborah and I enjoyed the quiet time without my sister, but before long, we decided it wasn't the same without her. I recall one afternoon when this happened, and we later found Laura sulking in our front yard, pretending to play by herself. Deborah squatted by her side. I stood behind Deborah, knowing from experience that my sister listens to her friends' apologies more than mine. "Laura?" she began cautiously. No response. She was ignoring us. Deborah looked up at me for encouragement. I gave her an irritated smirk and rolled my eyes. Deborah turned again to the proud-hearted girl on the grass beside her. I remained tight-lipped as she continued to negotiate. "It's just not the same without you, Laura," she said. "We need your guys to keep the adventure going. Duck was the one who got the search going for the treasure in the first place. We needed him back if we're going to go on with it at all." "Yeah," Laura responded slowly, "but Luke Skywalker already knows where the treasure is. You said so yourself. He has those telepathetic powers or whatever they are." "The Force is with him," Deborah explained. She was the only one of us who had actually seen the movie Star Wars. Her parents had a VCR. "Whatever," Laura continued her pretend play. Deborah remained patient. Laura, if you come back with us, I promise Duck can have half the treasure. No response. You can be Darth Vader, too. After a short pause, Laura finally spoke. Yeah? Deborah's eyes shone with hope. Yeah. Laura spun around in the grass to face us both. And Leia, too? I want to be Princess Leia, too. Deborah looked up at me. It was my turn to be patient now. I had the role of Princess Leia and had bargained heavily with Laura for the character before we began that day. My mouth opened to argue, but stopped when I looked into Deborah's hopeful face. I didn't want to be the bad guy. Okay, you can be Leia, but only if I can be... I thought quickly. I couldn't trade for Han Solo. Deborah had him. I didn't want Chewbacca. Deborah informed us he could only make animal noises. Who was left? R2-D2, I blurted out. Ugh! I wanted to smack myself. Another dumb robot. Why must every day end with me as the guardian to a sidekick collection? All right. Laura jumped up and skipped across the lawn back with us. We continued the adventure in Deborah's sandbox until we ran into trouble again. What would the treasure be, we wondered. I looked around the backyard and spotted Mrs. Martin's rosebush. Would your mom mind if we used one of her flowers? I knew the answer would be no. Mrs. Martin tended her garden with pride. Taking one of those roses would be treated like a sin if we were caught. Laura spoke up, irritated. We don't want a flower to be the treasure. No, I tried to explain. I mean, the flower could stand for the treasure. After all, we don't have any precious jewels around here. I have some beads and stuff in my jewelry box, Laura suggested. Well, maybe it could be magical. Whoever has it can have special powers. I like that, Laura said. Whoever finds the treasure gets to rule the universe. Deborah was unusually quiet. She stood up and walked slowly over to her mother's garden. She stared, silent for a moment or two. It wasn't normal for her to be so still and quiet. Something was wrong. It's okay, Deborah. I tried to bring her back. We don't have to use your mom's flowers. We could use, a dandelion or something. Oh, what does it matter, she blurted out and ripped off a large red rose from her mother's precious rose bush. It won't be our roses soon anyway. Laura and I looked at each other, surprised by the outburst. What's going on with you? Laura asked. Deborah turned to us and then looked back down at the rose. Its petals had come loose. She cupped her hands, trying to keep the flower's shape, but it was too late. Most of the soft petals had already fallen into the grass. I caught a glimpse of the sunlight, faintly shimmering her repressed tears. Deborah spoke softly. My parents told me last night that we're getting a new house. The words shocked through me. You're moving? Laura gasped. Deborah nodded gravely. Yes, they're building some houses over by the new theater. We won't be moving for another year, I think. I struggled to find a bright side. Well, at least we'll be together for another year. Oh, come on, Deborah began her hand motions. It's not like I'm moving to another country. I'll still be in Newmarket. Laura and I sat motionless. But we won't be neighbors anymore, we thought. Bikes wouldn't be enough to get to Deborah's new house. Our parents would have to drive us. We were losing Deborah as a playmate. We all knew it. Faintly, we heard the sound of cowbell, the call from home that supper was ready. Mom had prepared turkey pot pie for us that evening. Laura scrunched up her nose, saying, not again. I ate my usual double portion and drank a nice big glass of iced tea. After dinner, we were ordered to our rooms where Mom would tuck us in. I told my mom about Deborah. As I spoke, the tears finally came. She wrapped me in her arms and comforted me with her smile. I'll probably never see her again, I whimpered between sobs. Mom let me cry for a minute or two. I sat up and wiped my face with a sheet. Mom had prepared herself with a handful of toilet paper and handed over segments one by one. Remember, Wendy, she tried to console. She's not moving far. Mom told me about the friends she had in Canada when she was growing up in the States. She told me the truest friendships survive long distances. We talked for a long time that night before we said our prayers. Then we left as I was alone with my thoughts. I heard Mum's footsteps travel down the hallway and into the living room. The murmur of the television was faint as my parents watched the third part of a miniseries. Maybe it won't be so bad, I told myself. I gazed out the window at the foot of my bed. Looking down at the sloped landscape, I saw lights from the other suburban houses. They clustered closer together as they moved farther and farther away. I so often stared out this window before falling asleep. Looking around my dark room, I viewed the shadows of my little dresser and my Bugs Bunny lamp. Each object in my room, I thought, had a previous history before it came to me. Some were from garage sales, some were hand-me-downs. Even the things in my room have traveled and moved to different places, I thought. When will I get to move? I fell asleep thinking about Deborah and dreamt of the view from my window. In Slumberland, I saw houses upon houses. I imagined the horizon was somewhere behind them all. And so was something else, something waiting for me in a land far, far away.